This is Prashant Kumar. I am the owner of my company, of course, a small company, My Realty Gains Management. And our goal is just to network with everybody, basically, right? Just a little bit about myself. You know, I have 25 years in technology and management. And for the last 5 years, I've been doing real estate. I have been involved in many, many projects in GP capacity. We did about 1,200 units in GP capacity in 2019, 2020. Obviously, we didn't do much. But we did do a lot of assisted living projects in 19, 20, and we are closing few deals this year also. And we want to continue to explore assisted living across the United States as we go forward, right? So this, our strengths are primarily, underwriting and meticulously do the financials on these projects and reduce redundancies. So we plan to continue to do multifamily syndications this year, and of course, assisted livings also. I don't want to bore you guys with my introduction. I would like to introduce our great guest today. Today we have with us, Pratima and Bhuvan Sharma. Both Bhuvan and Pratima, they are good friends of mine. I know him for last couple of months. And just a little bit of introduction about them is, they are real estate professionals, with multifamily leadership experience, and they are very well experienced in buying, asset managing, refinancing, and selling multifamily assets. Their real estate transactions amount to over $112 million, and they have paid approximately $20 million in cash payouts to their investors. They have comprehensive financial bank, financing experience with nationwide lenders, Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, as well as they have worked with local banks. They strive on producing quality work. They possess great communication skills. They know how to deal with difficult people and difficult situations. They have strong command over technology tools, and they understand the market and the financials. They were gracious enough today to talk. I know we all talk about deals. We all talk about investors. We all talk about, either the entry or the exit, but nobody talks about the asset management, right? So, I asked them, what do you want to talk about? They said, guys, let's talk something unique, and which is their real core strength. Asset managing the projects. You can buy a good project, and you can bring that good project to knees if you are not a good asset manager, right? And if you are a good asset manager, you can buy a bad project and make that as a good project. So the real strengths, with Bhuvan and Pratima have, and I with respect, I call them Bhuvan ji and Pratima ji. The real strength is basically to in the asset management. They are extremely good, seasoned asset managers on their own deals, and they have helped many syndicators to grow their businesses also. So having said that, Pratima ji and Bhuvan ji, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for coming. And this is a small group. That's what we have here. Today we have about 15 people. Sometimes we have more, but I'm sure everybody would love to hear from you about your experiences in asset management.
Thank you, Prashant. Thank you for having us. It's a great honor to be here.
Right. We really appreciate you bringing us on. It doesn't matter how small your company is or the group is, it's how important it is.
Right. Yeah.
So we are really delighted to join you here today. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. I mean, we have invited you now, and I'm sure we will invite you again here in future. I mean, I really wanted to ask, you know, Pratima ji and Rohan ji, is what kind of challenges have you faced in asset management during your tenure? You know, I know you have been in the industry for the last 5-6 years or maybe more. Please walk us through some of the challenges that you have faced.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, asset management is, you know, in our opinion, is the key to the asset performance. And we are very hands-on on asset management. We always work with a third-party company for management, but we are full-time involved on asset managing the assets. So since you asked about the challenge, did you want to share one of the challenges we faced about?
Yeah, you know, there are many challenges, but I think this is more stand out for us is we were buying a property almost 2 years ago, and it was a $34 million property, 300 units up in Dallas area. We are from Dallas, by the way. And so everything was going good. Week before, we got a call from our lender. They, hey, by the way, we were going through your title and we found out that your property is on the borderline of Texas Department of Transportation. Means that they are doing some easement work, which they might take some of our property line and you will have, they are going to give you any minimal. And also, since it's an easement, they were saying that they're going to put a sound barrier to us. That it means that you will, there will be a lot of destruction. We're going to come in and out, heavy equipment. And on top of that, even though the survey was already approved, they said, well, because of that, there were some easement works done. We will require you to do a new survey. Now we're talking about 8 days before our loan was going to close in 7 days. We have to do a new survey. Survey takes about 2.5-3 weeks to do it. So we were just freaking out.
Rate was already locked. Right. And that was over, several $100,000 would have been in the penalty if we had not closed within 7 days.
Right. So our rate was locked. We cannot extend. And same time, they were discussing, we can do double closing. The seller was saying, oh, that's easy, double closing. So anyway, we said there's no way we can do double closing. We have to do survey. So we call a 911 survey. So we reach out to the surveyor and they were able to do survey in 3 days. And average survey costs about $5,000 to $6,000. We end up paying $25,000 for survey. Just because we were going to, if we don't close it, we're gonna have under $350,000, $400,000 in our bucket. So, whatever we have to do, we were able to get the survey done. And that survey doesn't mean just a survey needs to be done. It has to go to the city for approval. And it was a Christmas time. So guess what? So we had to call everyone in the city from home office to bring them just to do the approve the survey so we can close the deal. It was like a 911 call, like any standard, you can see that. So we were time bound. We had no option that what we need to do. So we were running around like a chicken cut their head. But the good thing is that we were able to get the survey done. We were able to close the deal on time. And it just, that eminent domain just kind of freaking us out. What do we need to do? We paid $25,000. The good thing is that because it was seller's fault, so they took care of the $25,000. So this is one of the challenges that you see, because no matter how we close about 11 properties or 10 properties before, but we had never thought that something like this could happen. We have done every single thing, everything right. We lender got involved, property management, nothing was going wrong. And that's about 1 week before or 8 days before you hear this thing. So some of those challenges that you have to overcome, there's no property same. You close one property today, next day or next month you do so, it could be completely different.
Right. That's why it is so important to have the right context and build the right team.
Right.
And that's how we were able to pull through. You know, we called it a 911 response over the weekend, finished the survey. Yes, we paid top price, but luckily in the end, as Bhuvan was saying, the seller had to cover that survey fee, and we saved those hundreds of thousands of dollars that were going to be an impact if had we not closed.
So guys, just hold on, okay? I mean, this is insane. I mean, listening a story like this, I know you are underplaying this quite a bit, but the listeners, those who are on the call, basically, you know, we are sharing the experiences in asset management. These are the challenges that, so what is asset management? You know, managing the whole transaction and managing the asset during the life cycle. You know, that is called asset management. And what Bhuvanji and Pratimaji have just said, that typically we do the third party property management, and they actually are so much hands-on. They are on top of each and everything that happens in the transaction, and they're going to explain that a little bit more. But they manage, because they love their work so much, they manage their work. They're involved in each and every step of the way. And I have been involved in many, many transactions also, and I have not heard anything like this before, that 7 days before, lender is giving us hard time saying that, you know, you need a survey, new survey. I mean, survey, come on. It's like not 5,000, it's not a matter of 5,000 or 25,000. It is the amount of time that survey takes.
Right.
So what these guys have done in 5 days, getting the survey done during Christmas time, nobody responds. I mean, forget about city, you know, I would not pick up my phone during that time. But this is an incredible story. And this is something which doesn't come with, if you would ask me, as you know, in the beginning, that I need to get a survey done, I would be shaking my legs. But I mean, this is something only an experienced person can take it through, you know, can get it done. So I mean, I know they are very humble and, you know, talking very quietly, but consider that. That's a major thing that could happen in any project.
Right, Prasad. Anytime you say this, called the word called eminent domain. We had never heard this word. We were in the business for almost that time 6.5 years, and we say, "What is eminent domain?" Excuse me, we had no idea. So we start looking for the stockholder lender. I said, "Oh my God, are you sure you have an eminent domain issue?" And then we realize that. So the point is that, you know, anytime you do any closing, or you're buying a property, you do all the due diligence, there's always going to be something that a last minute thing, something might change. And this was a rude awakening, and we thought we were going to have a good weekend, Friday 4 o'clock, you know, 3 o'clock, and then we're going to have a nice cup of, you know, nice wine, and we're closing the property next week. And then you hear the phone, okay, by the way, we have a problem. And then the problem is that I remember that till 9 p.m., we were with lender discussing how we can overcome that, what can be done. So we had so many things going on, and whole weekend we worked. But the good thing is that you just have to find a way. You have to have the right team. You have to have the right people to go and call. Yeah, it is going to cost money, but, you know, you're talking about $30 to $30 million deal. If it's going to cost another $25,000, it's okay, because you have put almost $500,000 in the hard money. Means if you don't close the property, you're going to lose $500,000. So rather pay $25,000 and get the work done. We'll figure this out later on. But in this case, we were lucky enough that our seller, and they realized that that was their fault. They did not, you know, inform that there was a eminent domain issue, that Texas Department of Transportation, they were going to put a sound barrier. They had to go through the whole property and bring heavy equipment. So they got $25,000, the seller. They were keeping $25,000 and not giving us, end up they giving us later on. So it turned out
to be a win for us.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, we always call ourselves students for life.
Right.
Every time we close a property, there are always new things to be learned.
And yes, investor does make living out of it, but how much pressure that it sponsor goes through to get the deal done, and in the end giving away almost all the returns. I mean, you have seen the deals like 80-20, you know, you are an 8 prefs, 7 prefs, the first 7-8% of the return goes to the investor, and then on top of it 80-20 split towards the investor. How little sponsor makes out of that deal, but what sponsor has to go through to get that deal going and to keep their reputation up and running, you know, because if they make mistake, if the sponsor makes one mistake, you know, their reputation gets ruined so quickly, you know, years worth of work gets ruined so quickly. So that is something that I wanted to highlight. It's very good. So somebody is asking, what is their background in real estate? We talked about it. They have, you know, maybe a little bit, guys, you want to talk a little bit about yourself?
We can go over it very briefly. I think for real estate, typically we came from an IT background. You know, I spent all our life in the IT. About 7-8 years ago, we started this real estate business. We wanted to do a single family, but we realized that we were working too many hours, corporate America. We had team in India, China, France, both of us. So we said, well, I don't think single family is something for us. So we started exploring the multifamily side. So in 2014, we bought our first apartment complex for $1.2 million. And since then, we never looked back. So basically, this is we call ourselves a real estate professional. From perspectives, that's all we do. We have done 11 deals so far, means 11 syndication. Total portfolio, Prashant, you already mentioned that $120 million, and we have paid $20 million to our investors. I mean, that's a short story, but...
You mentioned first multifamily we purchased was about $1.2 million. The last one we purchased last year was over $34 million. And so every year we have been purchasing one or two multifamilies. We have transacted through over 6,500 units now. That is over 32 properties. So as we are syndicating, we are also passively investing into the deals. So we have, as Bhuvan is saying, 10, 11 syndicated deals. We have over 22 passive investments and key guarantor investments where we are the key guarantors in the deals. You might have to explain that to your listeners, yeah. But these deals are in DFW or Dallas area, Dallas-Fort Worth, as well as in Arizona, Florida, and Atlanta.
Interesting. 1.2 million. Guys, you can hear the journey here, okay? If you have not heard it, 1.2 million to 112 million in 8 years. So that's the portfolio value that you guys have been managing. Definitely, this is something, it's a great achievement. But one thing I would say is this kind of growth is possible only in commercial real estate, and especially in multifamily asset class, where, you know, as the number of units grow, as your experience grow, your ability to think and do bigger and better deals that grow. So, 8 years, 1.2 million, 212 millions. And that itself, speaks a lot of stories. There's not much to be added here. But coming back to the original question, you talked about one story for a challenge, one challenge in asset management. What else would you like to share with your audience, those who are listening?
Yeah, we would love to share. I mean, we have gone through so many challenges, but yeah, I'll share another one. But before that, I just wanted to, for your folks who are listening, just our corporate background as well, so in last 8 years, we have both turned into full-time real estate professionals. My previous experience is from telecommunications industry. I was involved in the research and development on the telecommunication side. I, you know, led the multi-departmental engineering teams over there. I, you know, successfully led and tracked several complex development and design solutions that met, you know, company goals and maximized the results using cost-effective strategies. We were aware of how to work in team environment, how to manage millions of dollars of budgets. So when we started to look into real estate, it, you know, that platform was already ready for us to move on. Then we took over some of the real estate classes, courses, joined some groups and built that strength. And then, you know, slowly we started to move fully into the real estate.
Our schooling background, we both went for, you know, graduate school, and we both have computer science degree, you know, MBA. But, you know, I think this is just kind of a transition coming to this is, yeah, we were managing an IT project. This was a completely different, and you're working on a different set of people. In IT side, you're working for the professional who has high class degree. Here, you're working with some of the people who have just a high school, but they are so professional. They are the one who's running the property on a day-to-day basis. So there is a change in a pace, but the bottom line is that how you want to manage your properties.
I would add one more thing in that, you know, I'm also an IT professional and I also manage a lot of teams. Yes, you are in that corporate world, you are working for somebody anyway. And now there's a transition that you are working for yourself. So the responsibility becomes yours, onus. That's your onus to produce results. Nobody else is watching you. Yes, of course, your skills come handy, but you have to manage. There's nobody asking you to start your day at 8 o'clock and finish it at 6 o'clock. You probably start much earlier and go till much late. I guess, exactly, you know, right. And same with me also. Yes, it is similar. It gives you the edge over others, but in my mind, it is harder than working for somebody else, you know.
Oh, definitely right. I think it just one more thing before Prithma started is that, you know, we both have left our corporate America job. I left about 4.5 years ago. Prithma left her job.
About a year and a half ago.
So, we were doing a great job, but just like you said, this is our own business.
Yeah. Now it's our time. We have the financial freedom, the time freedom. I don't know about time freedom. We are still, you know, busy day in and out, but, you know, it's our decision. It's, you know, we are in control.
Very good. Very good. Yeah. Let's talk about a little bit more about challenges, a little more challenges that you guys face in your day to day.
So about 3 years ago or so, we took over a low-income property. And our plan was to do a full value add. Our rehab budget was $2 million, a little bit more than $2 million. And we went and, you know, inspected one of the student rooms, our community rooms. This property is full of families, had over 35 kids on that property alone, and they used to run after school and summer school programs. So the you know, challenge we had was the room when we visited the student center. It was just a very, very distressed room for kids. Dim lights, old furniture, broken furniture, you know, very dirty kitchen, dingy bathroom. We have never seen, like, you know, at corporate world or, you know, when we went to school here, a blackboard so much. But this property, which was built in late 60s, had a blackboard, you know, instead chalkboard. Of, you know, all the chalkboard kind of. So we took on that challenge. We said, okay, we have to do something here. We brought our team. just over the weekend, we put in new flooring, LED lights, painted it all bright, put the new whiteboard, brought a TV there, changed the furniture, got a computer for kids so that they can get some help, doing their homework, got a printer, and, filled in some more books and, rearranged. The whole team, was busy doing that over the weekend. Monday afternoon came and the kids started to come in. And as they, came, they were shocked. They're like, oh, what happened here? Because years and years they were coming there to this dingy room. And all of a sudden it's all bright and everything's new. They were just shocked. You should have seen their faces. Some of them started crying. And in a week or so, we received over 40 love notes from the kids.
Wow.
So that was our reward, getting the, thank you notes, loving notes from them.
Yeah, the one thing to add is that, we could have done on weekend, but because of the number of students, their school stopped at 6 p.m. on Friday. They come back, it was summertime, and they come back Monday morning. So we only have time the weekend to do the thing. And most of the time, the community center is busy doing something else, adult classes. But we just took on that we have to redo the whole thing. It's literally redo the whole thing from scratch. New furniture and all this thing. It was just a challenge for us to do it. But I think the thing that what we like to do is not getting a property and running a property or getting rent. There is sense of community event that we have.
Yeah, this kind of resonates to the idea. I mean, of course, what you have done is something incredible in itself. And you get the real pride out of this, but it kind of resonates with the idea that the value add that we are doing in these multifamily properties, you are actually improving the quality of life for the residents who are living there, right? I mean, this kind of fall in line with that approach, and all the syndicators I have talked to, I would say more than 75% syndicators, they come with that attitude of serving from the bottom of their heart, serving the community and sharing the knowledge. And that's what I guess you guys are also doing in your business and in the community also. So it kind of resonates. The purpose of the business that we are doing is to improve the quality, not just our lives, we are of course making some money out of it, but improve the quality of life for the community, the residents who are living in those properties, or those who are using the assets which you own. So that's awesome.
The sense of social responsibility, while you're doing good, you aspire to do good for others.
Yeah. Very good. Very nice. Very good. So guys, a little bit more. At what level, what is your day-to-day? Let's say you own a property for 2 years or 3 years. If you don't mind us walking through, what would you do on that property during this life cycle? Once you have purchased it, what is that do you do for it until you exit of that project, if you don't mind me asking that, for the viewers' sake.
Sure thing, sure. So, asset performance is very important to us from many aspects, right? From the aspects of our residents, from the aspects of our investors, right? It's their funds which are helping us purchase the property, so we owe the returns to them. They projected our goal is always, beat or meet the projections. So we are very hands-on on asset management. goal is always to be involved with the management team, making sure, you know, that we are there to strategize leasing. We are there to set up operational goals. We are there to handle capital improvements and, you know, handle budgets, planning out budgets, operational as well as the capital budgets. And this is, you know, to make sure that the strategic systems are in place, strategic, you know, operational goals are set in place for the staff, so that we can meet or beat the projections, right? So your property management team can, you know, they are good in handling the property, but taking the property from one level to another is where we come in. We need to know what the sub-market is. We are always very cognizant about the market and the economics which are going on. If you have purchased a property in a specific sub-market, you need to know what kind of upgrades would go well in that market. What kind of occupancy are you expecting in that market? So you read those KPI indicators and you strategize your leasing according to that. You strategize your operational plans based on that. So that's what goes on in our days, you know. Which property are we taking over? Set up the full planning and then making sure week over week basis that the plan is fully, you know, being executed.
Yeah, that's good all the way till the end. And whether you're in the middle, you're starting to do a refi, we have planned for 2 years refi or refinance, basically cash or refi, depending on how people want to call. And then you want to keep the property, you know, or then you want to sell it after 2.5-3 years. So it just, everything is pre-planned out. You know, the way we do it is we do a very thought out process. Pratima has explained, you know, when we take over the property, before even taking over, we could have spent almost, I would say at least 200 to 300 hours just to making an offer to a property that we are looking for to buy before LOI, letter of intent goes out. When we pick up the property, the whole team is with us. So we are going through step-by-step process, setting up goals, setting what expectation from us, from our management company. The management company is, they're managing 8,000-10,000 units. For us, for them is, we are the only, we are one of their property. For our job as asset management is, well, I want you to see my property and management companies. We are the number one. We want you to see. So that's what asset management comes in, to make sure that we are setting up our goal and expectation.
Right. So that is, you know, one area that day-to-day operations at the property and working day-to-day with the property management as well as the staff out there. The other thing, as I had mentioned earlier, our focus is not just acquiring multifamily properties, but to make a difference at the residential community itself. It's very important to us that the residents living over there, we are able to make a difference in their life. We are able to add quality to their life. And for that reason, I'll just name a few things that we do at our properties. You know, we work with other organizations to bring programs to our properties. Should it be running after school care or summer programs? Also, you know, we promote education at our properties. So at the start of each school year, we always pass out, give out free back to school supplies. We also, you know, care for the health of our residents, you know, by providing educational training. For example, we take them for nutritional training trips. We can take them to a store, say Whole Foods, and we would take kids over there and have them read the labels in the back of the food packets so that they understand what is the value of nutrition, what should they be looking at, what should, you know, how they make the decision in purchasing the best nutritional food. We also hold English as second language classes if it's needed at that property, you know, to overcome the language barrier that facilitates the resident communicate with others, communicate with us, communicate with the property staff. We also arrange for, you know, medical screenings of our residents as much as possible. So these are some of the things that we do at our properties.
Those are all complimentary. We don't provide any, there's no charges for our community. Even running after school program, there's a minimal cost because as part of the program that we have to do like $4 or $5 per child, but they get evening when they come from the school, they got snacks, free snacks. People help them how to do homework. In the summertime, they have a full summer program from 8 o'clock to 6 o'clock. We provide them breakfast, we provide them lunch, we snack, and it is all
day trips. So
day trips to wherever they're going to zoo or someone else.
So we work with other organizations and take care of the expenses ourselves.
Interesting. Guys, I have never heard any syndicator, and trust me when I say I have really never heard anybody doing what all you guys have been doing. Along with the business, you are doing so much more to make the difference in the community. You know, hats off to both of you guys. I mean, it's really commendable. You know, you come with an attitude of giving, and you know, I'm pretty sure, you know, when you give something, you know, you always get part of it back for sure, but that's not the intention when you do something like that. I mean, it's just awesome. So I have one question. You know, somebody's asking is, you know, what kind of team have you put together for your business? You know, what kind of people do you have in your team?
Very good question. So we have team put together from all types of areas where we can, you know, lead. So for example, there are brokers in our team. Obviously we want to look for a specific area, a specific property. You need to network with them. So we have very, you know, bright brokers in our team. We have lenders and banks who are in our team. We have tax advisors. We have long-term key principals who can, on the loan, as the need arises, can be the guarantor, can sign with us on the loan. We have long-term passive investors. You know, you always need the funding. And if you have a ready team, that helps. We have very talented attorneys on our team. So we have, you know, from, you know, A to Z, whatever is the need for a multifamily, should it be, you know, acquiring it, operating it, and, you know, running these different programs, event coordinators, and also we have all those in our team, and they have been with us. A lot of them have been with us since very, very beginning.
Yeah, and we also have a property management company. You mentioned the third party property management. They've been with us for the last 8 years. The idea was that this property management company didn't want it to take over 50 units that the very first property that we bought, it was 52 units. Our last one we bought 300 units. So they come along with that. There is a, you know, sense of, you know, how we want to see, so they see us, how we're doing. So everything has to be together from broker and all the way to the, obviously broker will sell the property, and in between, our KP is basically guarantor. Just for the people of this audience here, KPs are the guarantor. When you buy a property, your network may not be enough. So you need to have someone else to sign a loan. Basically, if you're buying a house and your brother needs a house, or brother is buying a house, you know, he's a good earning, but he doesn't have enough earning, that bank will say, well, I need to have a signer for you to help. So you go and help your brother. You just become a signer. So those kind of stuff you need for buying a larger property, you know. So those are the guarantors that you're talking about.
So I know this is your business, but in your business, besides you, do you have other employees or other partners who are helping with you on a day-to-day, like with you in the grinds on a day-to-day basis? Do you have any other people? I mean, do you have different roles in what you do, or you do everything together, you know? So that's another question.
We do everything together. So my focus is a lot of the times on financial analysis. Bhuvan takes care of, you know, a lot of rehab or CapEx. But, you know, it's
a compliment.
Yeah, we complement each other. We can take over for each other. You know, he can, if needed, you know, he can do the financial analysis and I can look at the rehab. But if the question is regarding having another partner under 7Cs, 7Cs is our company, then the answer is no, it's just us. But we do have a team of guarantors, we do have a team of, you know, passive investors.
Yeah, we do have our executive assistants, you know, if some of you went on the lead, you know, our mailing list. So yes, yeah, she comes and help us out.
Very good. And how do you find, I know somebody's asking, how do you find, you know, organizations, you know, to partner with on the housing community side? You know, how do you find those organizations, you know, where you partner with, you know, somebody in the organization to serve the community, you know? What is your thought on that?
You look in the local area, you'll find those organizations who are willing to help. Plus, we have a event coordinator. In last few years, we have hired her and we work with her on day-to-day basis and assign the projects, and then she goes and then implements those and helps us out.
Got it. Okay. And one more question is, how did you guys learn this business? I mean, when you learned it, when you started it, what was your journey at that point? You know, I know we have talked about last 8 years, what you have done, but how did you at least start this when you started it?
Right. So, you know, we did a lot of learning ourselves, internet learning, a lot of books, but, you know, we joined a group, real estate group, and then start learning from there. Basically help us out to train, handhold us, just go through the whole education process that, you know, what are you looking for? What do you need to do? You know, what rehab needs to be do, how to underwrite the deal, you know, just kind of become a networking group. So that's what we start learning.
Your local apartment association. So like we are from Texas. So TAA or NAA, the National Apartment Association, they have classes. So we are both IRAP certified. We took over passive courses. We took over syndicator courses. So a lot of that learning, you know, school type learning, certification type learning. So we did a lot of that. And so, you know, training wise, that's where it fit. But when we first started that, you know, that, okay, we need to take over as a sponsor, we first got into a passive deal. Hands-on experience is what, you know, in our opinion, works the best. So we participated in another sponsor's deal, and we helped out on that deal a lot just for us to learn. And then we slowly started with a small number of units. Our first property was 55 doors only. And then, you know, slowly learned from there. And last year we purchased a 300 door property. So that's how it came about.
No, very good. I mean, I think one last question I would like to ask you today is, I know we have chatted a little bit, and how are you guys helping others to grow in this business? I know you you do this, and I just wanted to hear from you. What is your take, and how do you help others, other budding syndicators in this area?
Right. No, certainly, I think that's a great question. So we have our passive investors that who have grown with us from the day one, they've shown interest that, you know, okay, I'm looking to buy in my own deal. Would you help me either, you know, doing underwriting, go walk with me? I want to see the property. What do we need to do? Do the due diligence on this thing, working with the lender. So find the right loan. And at the time that then that's okay. Would you be able to be a guarantor for me? Because we obviously when you're new, you don't have enough network. So we help them that way. So we just, and then once the property is acquired, we help them, okay, how to run the property asset manager. Obviously we are not, we are kind of become backdoor scene. We just help them to start learning the property and then help them as they need move forward.
Right.
Very good. No, that's awesome, guys. I mean, you guys are doing awesome job. I have created a email course, and I've created a passionate passive investors club, basically. And there is all free education that we provide. I have a bunch of videos, and we update a lot of blogs and stuff in there. So myrealtygains.com/PPIC. The way I have written is Passionate Passive Investor Club, PPIC. If anybody wants to talk to me, they can schedule an appointment with me. Or there is a 7-day passive email course also. But you know, PPIC is good enough because we have all talked about advantages of passive investing. So I just created a small course. And again, there's no charge or anything. It's just knowledge sharing. Just subscribe it or whatever you want. 7-day email course or Passionate Passive Investor course, myrealtygains.com/PPIC.